ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणचक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्व निराकरणमे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. विल् चाण्ट् द सेकेण्ड् मन्त्र आफ् चाप्टर् वन्. श्रोत्रस्य श्रोत्रं मनसो मनो यत् वाचोह वाचं स उप्राणस्य प्राणः चक्षुश्च चक्षुरतिमुच्य धीराः प्रेत्यास्म लोकाद् अमृता भवन्ति. टुडे विल् बी डूइङ्ग् चाप्टर् फोर् मन्त्रास् फोर् फैव् एण्ड् सिक्स्. सो इफ् यु केन् प्लीस् ओपन् युर् बुक् टु देट् देट् वे यु केन् फालो एण्ड् आल्सो इफ् यु नीड् टु चाण्ट् आफ्टर् मी. सो इन् दिस् केन उपनिषत् वी हेव् first started with the knowledge portion where the student asks the teacher what is that which makes the eye see, which makes the mind alight on objects, the pranas to function and so on. And then the teacher does not answer directly. He says it is the eye of the eye, the mind of the mind, the ear of the ear, and so on. And then he says, we do not know how to teach it to you, because it cannot be taught as an object. Brahman cannot be taught as an object. At the same time, you can't say you don't know it, because Brahman is your true nature, is your true essence. And so the bright student gets it, and some of the other students also get it. But then there are others who still look lost, like us, students like us. So then the teacher tells the beautiful story about the devas who won the battle and were arrogant. And then the yaksha appeared, the Lord himself appeared, and removed the pride of Indra, Vayu, and then, Agni and Vayu. And then when they could not find out Brahman, then Indra went, and Brahman at that time disappeared. Disappeared not because he was afraid that he will be found out or caught, disappeared because he wanted to show Indra that the mind cannot know it, and mind even cannot know it. And when Indra patiently waited, then Uma came and revealed to him that this was the one who came, the yaksha that disappeared, is none other than Brahma, the Lord himself, the Ishvara, the Supreme Lord. So as we saw last week, in the three mantras, Agni and Vayu and Indra were the three who got glory, and they are always worshipped first in any yajna, because Indra and Agni got to directly see that Lord. And Agni and Vayu directly got to see the Lord. Indra got to hear about the Lord from the Guru and the scripture that is represented by Uma. So now the question is this jnana or upasana? So the first two chapters talked about jnana, and the story and the fourth chapter deals with upasana. What is the difference between upasana and jnanam? The jnana phalam is at the same time, sama. It appears at the same time, samakala, immediately when you get this knowledge, mm-hmm. it appears. But the upasana phalam is uttara, it is later. So like when you know something as it is, then you know it right away. But when you worship, like they did through the yaksha, or we'll talk more about upasana today, then the result comes later. And why do we need upasana? Because for us, We say, oh, I have understood Brahman is myself. But do we experience Brahman as the subject, or do we still think of Brahman as an object? And most of us, yeah, oh, Brahman is something, somewhere. So as long as we don't think of Brahman as I, a subject, constantly abide in that, you say, oh, I have understood. But when, as long as you do not abide in that knowledge, we need a superimposition, and that is through upasana. And the upasana, the superimposition, has to be done in a Vedic form, as per the scriptures. Not I can pick whoever I want to worship or whatever I want to do, but whatever is described in the Puranas, in the, you know, in our scriptures. And then the question is, how do we do that? By developing Shraddha. The Guru has given us the path, and through Shraddha, we choose our Upasya, the one whom we worship. And for a master who is realized, he does not need to do Upasana because he has already become one with the truth. But for you and me, it is still necessary to do Upasana. So we'll do mantra number 4. Kusum, do you have this?
I have it on my phone. I hope it is the correct one.
Yeah. So chapter 4, mantra number 4. Tasya esha adeshaha.
Tasya esha adeshaha.
Yad etat vidyutaha.
Yad etat vidyutaha.
Vyadyuttada.
Vyadyuttada.
Yeah, why the I will explain in
three times.
Yeah, we'll talk in the discussion. Iti.
Iti.
Inyami mishada.
Inyami mishada.
Iti adhi daivatam.
Iti adhi daivatam.
You can please mute. We'll all chant together. Tasyesha adeshaha yad etad vidyutaha vyadyuttada iti inyami mishada iti adhi daivatam. So tasya esha adesha. Esha means of that Brahman, of the Lord. Adesha. Adesha often is interpreted as instruction, but here it is not instruction, it is example or illustration. So this is an illustration or a description of Brahman. And here, what is the description or the example that is being used? Yat etat, this is what? Vidyutaha, lightening. And vyadyutada means it shines like lightning, just as lightning appears and disappears. Same way Brahman appeared and disappeared as Yaksha. And also, Gurudev in his commentary said, just as the lightning spreads and whole the whole cosmos is illumined. So same way in the meditation, when Brahman first appears in the early meditators as they progress, it comes as flashes of lightning. We'll talk about that. And then it says, iti in inya mi mishadaha. So just as it is, there's a twinkling of an eye, just as you blink your eye, how long it takes, that's how long the yaksha appeared and disappeared. And this is adhidaivatam. Adhidaiva, we all know, adhidaiva means the cosmic forces. So this is the cosmic powers. So why the lightning example has been used? As we mentioned, lightning is adhidaivatam. It is not adhyatmic. It is not, you know, it is adhidaivatam. It is daivatam. It is not adhyatmic and it is not of the world. And as we said, lightning appears and disappears. So same way early meditators, they get these flashes of lightning, flashes of the appearance of Brahman or contact with Brahman within, and then it disappears. But as long as we think of Brahman as an object, then lightning becomes a very good means to show Brahman, to demonstrate Brahman. As we said, lightning is vivid, it is like a flash. And so, but lightning you see very rarely, right? We don't see lightning that often, at least not here in the monsoons in India and all you see. So here they say anything that flashes. So say you take your camera and you flash a picture, the picture flash should remind you of Brahman, should remind you of God, or how the lens opens and closes and the picture is taken. So every time you take a picture, you remember God, remember Brahman. So these become methods of reminding us. And people say, you know, give us some more examples. So like our children, you know, children were home, now they have gone away, college, got married and so on. So what we do, we keep pictures. Oh, this is my family picture, my children, my grandchildren. So even though they are in a different city or a different state or different country, you can remember them through the picture. So the picture becomes the upasana for your children or grandchildren. So same way, you have a picture of Bhagwan. Somebody says, oh, this is just a piece of paper. It's not paper. As long as there is a picture of Bhagwan there, you superimpose the divinity upon this form. Or it can be a statue, it can be wooden, it can be stone. And a non-believer might say, what is this? You are worshipping this piece of stone, you know, and you are calling it God. It is not God, but it is what you superimpose upon that. That is called upasana. And that's how Yaksha was. He appeared and disappeared. So the Yaksha is the form which reminds us of God. That's what Uma tells Indra, and Indra tells all the other devatas, that when Yaksha appeared, that was God himself. And our mind is generally very extrovert. You know, we look for things outside. So for us to turn within and meditate becomes difficult. You know, you meditate for a while and then your mind wanders, it goes here and there. So this becomes a means to go to that, to go to the higher. We'll talk about that. And why we are extrovert? Because we have less vairagya. We don't have vairagya. We have so much attachment to things and beings. So as long as the vairagya is there, it is important to have a symbol. That's why Gurudev said, idol takes you to the ideal. So using the idol or the picture or whatever reminds you of Bhagwan, using that as a support, Alambanam, God who is formless, is Nirupama. There is no comparison, there is no form, there is no simile, but that formless God, when we use that example, whatever the symbol is, it could be a Shivalinga, it could be a Shaligram, it could be, you know, an idol or a picture, that will take you. And why are we saying at the end? That is called pluta. That is the Sanskrit word. Pluta means simile. So this lengthening, when you lengthen lightning, then you say, okay, lightning reminds me of God. Or the blinking of the eye. So anytime, like blinking of the eye, we do all the time, right? So anytime you blink, think of God. Why do we think of God? Because blinking is, they also say, is adhidaivatam. It is not adhyatmic. They say, oh, blinking is of my body. No, but blinking opens and closes, reveals the light outside. So as long as there is outside light, that is adhidaivatam. So even blinking should remind you of God. So like anytime you blink, anytime you take a picture, anytime, so any of these actions should remind you of God. And Then the question is this Purush Tantra or Vastu Tantra? You know, that is always the question. In Sanskrit, there are two terms, Vastu Tantra and Purush Tantra. Vastu Tantra means to know something as it is. Purusha is how I look at it. So, for example, my shirt, I ask you, what is this color? You say it's blue. So that is Vastu Tantra. That is, blue is the color. There is no doubt. And how do I know it is blue? Because my eyes tell me it is blue. And in the past, when I was a child, my mother taught me blue, green, yellow. But another person may say, I don't like that shirt, or blue is not my favorite color. Green is my favorite color. I wish it was green. Then that becomes Purush Tantra. That depends on me. So same way, when you know Brahman as Brahman, you know, as the subject, that is Vastu Tantra. That is not a matter for discussion. You can't say my Brahman and your Brahman and all. But when you know Brahman, do not know it as it is, then we need a symbol, then we need a statue. And in gopis of Vrindavan, it's a very beautiful example. When they used to watch clouds, you know, the dark clouds, they say, oh, that's my Krishna, reminds me of Krishna because he's dark blue like the clouds. And then when the sun was rising in the morning and bright sunshine, they say, oh, my Krishna is now taking the cows for grazing, you know, through the forest. And then on top of, in front of the sun, if a small cloud appears, they say, oh, now there is an umbrella on my Krishna, so he doesn't get the bright sun. So these things that are not Krishna, but they remind them of Krishna, the cloud or the sun. So they say, nishkrit vastuni utkrishta buddhi. Nitkrishta vastuni utkrishta buddhi. Nitkrishta means that which is lower, nishkrita. You take it to the higher. So you take your thoughts to the higher using this as the support. And so and in blinking, there is unmisha and nimisha. Unmisha means opening of the eyes. Nimisha means closing of the eyes. So as you concentrate on all these things, what happens is that your mind slowly, gradually moves towards Brahman. And Gurudev in his commentary gives the example of a rope walker who in the beginning he falls, you know, so many times, but then after a while it becomes so easy that it's just like walking on ground. You know, he doesn't even think, he walks on the highest rope and, you know, has no. So same way, in the beginning for us, meditation is difficult. So we use the support of the form. And also blinking, Gurudev says, shows that it is effortless. See, people think, you know, in meditation, I have to exert and I have to force my mind to stay. And then you get up with a headache because you are struggling so much in meditation. So Gurudev says, no, meditation should be effortless, effortless abidance in the self, which is called sahaja. And if that is difficult, then people say, I need a form. You know, I can't meditate on the formless. It is too difficult. Okay, then take a form. Sri Krishna, Lord Shiva, Sri Rama, Mother Durga. Or you meditate on Shivaling or Shaligrama. They say, I don't want Shivaling and Shaligrama. I want God with whom I can wash, give him a bath, and give him change his clothes. I want one with hands and legs. So we say, okay, you can have God with form, and you can have a little murti of Krishna or Ganesha, and then you bathe it and you give food to it, give water to it. They say, water is boring. Okay, then give milk. You know, you can give milk, or you can do a milk bath, you know, like Abhishek with water, Abhishek with milk. And then somebody says, you know what, I want to do Abhishek with chocolate syrup. because my Bhagwan is modern. They say, no, that you can't do. You can't come up with your own ideas. Whatever is in the scriptures, that is Adesha, that is the symbol that we have to use, that we have to practice. So this is Upasana versus Jnanam.
Whatever you do, you become.
Yeah, that will come later. If you can do number five, Saroj Ben, you have that? You can unmute, please. Atha Adhyatmam.
Atha Adhyatman.
Yad etad.
Yad etad.
Gacchati iva.
Gacchati iva.
Cha manaha.
Cha manaha.
Nena.
Ena.
Cha etad.
Cha etad.
Upasmarati.
Upasmaramek.
Upasmarati.
Upasmarate.
Tikshnam.
Sorry, yeah. Upasmarate me. Sakalam.
Abhikshanam.
Abhisanam.
Sankalpaha.
Sankalpaha.
You can mute, we'll all chant together. Atha adhyatmam yad etad gacchati ivacha mana anena cha etad upasmarati abhikshanam sankalpaha. So a person says, I want something adhyatmic. Give me something inside, not outside. Lightning and, you know, no, I want something inside that I can remember with, that I have with me at all times. Lightning I may not have, picture I may not have. So he says, okay, adhyatma, I'll give you something within. Atha, now teacher gives another example, and that is of the mind. The mind is with us all the time. So how mind can also become Brahman, that is explained in this fifth mantra. So Atha Adhyatmam, in this way, Adhyatmam, the inner self, inner equipment, the mind, Yat Etat, so this mind, Gachati Iva, as though goes, you know, the mind iva goes out, iva. We'll talk about what do we mean by Gachati Iva. Cha mana, that mind, anena, by this mind, cha etad upasmarati. So one who remembers and thinks of God and thinks of mind as Brahman. Mind is not to know Brahman, but mind is Brahman. So that is again an example, because mind to know Brahman becomes an instrument. But when you say mind, when every thought comes, that is God, then that is upasmarati, one who constantly remembers closely. Abhikshanam, again and again. Sankalpa, this mind which is sankalpa, vikalpa, constantly moving back and forth, that mind is also Brahman, because everything is Brahman. So outside I have seen Brahman, now I see God inside. So as we said, Adhyatma is my own, is my equipment. It is me. Mind we think as me.
It is on Adi Devika.
And yeah, Adi Devika, Adi Bhautik, and Adhyatmik. So this is Adhyatmik. It is within me. It is part of me. And mind, when we say Gachati Iva, so like you can now, your mind, you're sitting here, but you can think about your child. You can think about your home in India. So your mind goes there. But please don't keep it there. Please bring it back here so we can listen. Otherwise, you'll say, oh, I'm thinking about my child. I don't have. So bring the mind back. So the mind as though goes. The mind actually does not go. Mind is here right with you. But you can send your mind to any object that you love. So similarly, through the mind, you can remember God, but you can remember mind as God, because every time a thought arises, that is expression of divinity, right? Because I am alive, my mind is functioning, because of God's presence. So mind turning towards God becomes Vastu Tantra, but mind as God becomes Purush Tantra. So that is, again, that is another method. And Gurudev says in his commentary that every time a thought arises, you can think of divinity, God. And then when the thought ends, then between the thoughts, two thoughts, there is a gap.
Yes.
And that gap is Brahman. Is there? That is Purush Tantra. That is not Vastu Tantra. That is as it is. But as the thoughts arise and fall, all variety of thoughts arise, that is Upasana.
As it is, is Vastu Tantra.
As it is Vastu Tantra. And thoughts arising and going is Purush Tantra. Sorry. As it is, the gap between the two thoughts is Vastu Tantra. But the different thoughts that arise depend on me. Like my thoughts may be different from your thoughts. Right now, maybe we are thinking similar, but after the class ends, then each one thinks their own. So the thought becomes Purush Tantra. The gap between thoughts becomes Vastu Tantra. That's why in this Upanishad, it says, Yena manasa na manute, yenahur mano matam. That which the mind cannot know, but that which illumines the mind, tadeva brahma tattvam vidhi, na etad yadidam upasate. So that which you are worshipping is not Brahman. The mind is not Brahman, but that which is known by the mind, which is not known even by the mind, but which illumines the mind, that is Brahman. But that for us is difficult. So they say that develop a bhavana, an idea that every thought that arises is a manifestation of God. When you do that, then your thoughts automatically become pure and, you know, kind and compassionate. You're not going to have anger, greed, jealousy, all those things. So that is that is the way to remember God in every thought. And then pay attention to the gap between the thoughts. That's why in meditation, we pay attention to the gap between the thoughts, or we pay attention to the gap between the breath, you know, between inspiration and expiration. So that gap is Brahman, but that thoughts are the breath arising or the thoughts arising are upasana, can be a means for upasana. Same thing you can use for your breath. Every time the breath is coming in and out, that is upasya. So, as we said, slowly from upasana, you go to jnanam. Because in the beginning, formless is difficult. You suddenly, you say, contemplate on the formless, all pervading. It's very difficult unless I have practiced it. So you start with the form, and then the form will lead you to the formless. So the mind becomes an instrument to remind you of Brahman. And the more and more you have Brahma thoughts, initially Brahman will be thought of as a Vishaya, as an object.
Brahma.
Oh, there is this Brahman, or there was some Brahman, and the Brahman is. But slowly it becomes the subject. And that's what they say, sankalpa vikalpa. The mind is fluctuating, wandering from here to there, runs around. And then it starts imagining and it starts contemplating. So that sankalpa vikalpa mana, you can say that's Bhagwan. You know, that's okay. And then slowly, slowly, when the mind is quietened and turned inward, then that contemplation leads you to. And therefore, that you need Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. You need to get the right knowledge from the teacher, from the Upanishad, contemplate upon it, and then abide in that knowledge. And so from that, it becomes what in the earlier mantra the teacher had said, Pratibodha Viditam. It is the light of consciousness that illumines the mind, that illumines the thoughts, that illumines my breath, that illumines my eyes, that illumines the whole world outside, the lightning, the cloud, the thunder, the sun, the moon, the stars. So anything outside or inside can be used to remind me of God, remind me of Brahman. So as we do that in the beginning, for people who they consider as manda buddhi, people like us who are not that evolved to directly contemplate on Brahman, you slowly with this knowledge develop buddhi and vairagya. Develop buddhi and vairagya, so the right understanding. And then Gurudev had said, detach from the lower and attach to the higher. So in the BMI chart, you detach from the BMI, PFT, OET, objects, emotions, thoughts, the perceiver, feeler, thinker, the ego, and the body, mind, intellect. So the equipment. So you detach from all three and take it to Om, that is knowledge. And as long as you are contemplating upon the form, that is Upasana. And for Upasana, you need Nama Rupa. For Upasana, you need a name and form. Because so any name and form you can take, and any particular God that you wish to worship, and that will take you. And God's grace is required to go from ignorance to knowledge. That's why we say, na, Asatoma Satgamaya Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya. So the asata, asat is name and form. Sat is Brahman. Tamas, darkness, is ignorance. And jyoti is light. That is the final. And mrityorma amritam gramaya. Mrityo means all this world is called as mrityulok. The world of change, the world of becoming, the world of being. We have talked in Sunday's class also that this whole world is called, that's why they say Bhagavad Gita Bhava Dveshini. I worship Mother Gita who removes this confusion of bhava, of becoming, and that Bhagavad Gita I worship, that we are doing Gita Dhyanam in the Sunday class. So Bhagavad Gita is the knowledge that takes me beyond this world of becoming, change, to the changeless. So that is how. So you can use lightning, you can use breath, you can use the mind and the thoughts and whatever. And then the blinking of the eyes. So they say, no, you know, make it even easier than that. You know, that is also too difficult. You know, I don't remember. How am I going to remember? So, and, you know, give me a name, you know, something I can easily remember. Ambika, you want to do the next one? Number 6. Taddha tadvanam nama.
Taddha tadvanam nama.
Tadvanam iti upasitavyam.
Tadvanam iti upa iti upasitavyam.
Saya etad.
Saya etad.
Evam vedabhi.
Evam vedabhi.
Ya enam.
Ya enam.
Sarvani bhutani samvachanti.
Sarvani bhutani samvachanti.
We can all chant together. You can please mute. Tad tadvanam nama. Tadvanam iti upasitavyam. Sa et. Saya etat evam vedabhi hya enam sarvani bhutani samvachanti. So here now teacher is giving us a name for Brahman. A name. He said, give me a name because this is very confusing. So what is the name? Tadvanam. What is the meaning of tadvanam? We'll cover that. Tad, so that tadvanam, this is tadvanam, and that is the name of Brahman. Tad vanam iti upasitavyam. So that name should be used for worshipping. It is worshipful name. It is a name that is worshipful. Saya etat. So this name, one who knows Brahman, her enam, knows Brahman as Tadvanam, Sarvani Bhutani Samvanchanti. All beings love this person. He becomes very lovable who can know God as Tadvanam. So what is the meaning of Tadvanam? So, you know, people think, oh, Tat Vanam, Vana in Sanskrit is forest, so that forest. It's not that forest. Tat Vanam is a name of God that means the most worshipful one, the most lovable, the most worshipful, the most adorable Bhagwan. That is the name of that Ishwara that appeared, that is the name given by the Rishi, Tadvanam. That was a common name at that time because they didn't have Rama, Krishna, Shiva. They all appeared later in the Puranic times. In the Vedic times, they didn't have all these Shri Rama, Shri Bhagwan, Krishna and all that. So that's why they used Tadvanam as one of the names. Is that most worshipful, beloved Lord. And having a name becomes easier for bhakti. And then what this does, it prepares the mind. But one should remember that bhakti is a means, not an end.
Yes.
So this chanting of the name should take me beyond the name to that which is remembered. So we don't just go on saying mechanically, Tadvanam, 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 not like that. Or same thing, when you chant Shri Krishna, Om Namah Shivaya, it should not be just restricted to the name and form. It should remind you of the name and form, obviously, when you remember Shri Krishna or Shri Rama. But then it should take you to the essence, that which is the essence of the Lord. That's why Shri Krishna says, and I am that manifestation of that Supreme, which he tells Arjuna so many times in the Bhagavad Gita. But this chanting should become a means, but not the end. Otherwise, people think puja alone is the means. You know, some people say, I just need to sit and do puja. I just need to sit and chant. That should not become the end. That should become the means to take you to the higher in Ramayana. In Ramayana, Tulsidas ji says it very beautifully. He says, jala bichi, just as water and wave. Now, water and wave, they are the same thing. But what is wave? Name and form. Name and form, you call it wave. Water has no name and form. So as long as there is name and form, then water is separate from wave. Okay, there is water in the lake, and then in the water the wave arises, or in the ocean. But when you remove name and form, then that one water alone is appearing as all waves, you know, all. So same way, that one Brahman is appearing as all these forms of God, whether it's Shri Krishna, Rama, Arjuna, Shiva and all. And also this visible world that I'm seeing is nothing but that manifestation of that one consciousness. So God alone is appearing as all this. You know, that's why they say this, whatever you see in name and form, it is manifestation of God. But then you have to go beyond neti, neti, not this, not this, not this. So anything that I can see as this is not that supreme reality, but this can take me to the not this, you know. So you say it's not this body, not this mind, not the world, not that, but that which is the substratum. But in the beginning, you can use these as support, as help. And that's why the word upasana becomes upa asana, sitting near. So sitting near means one is you sit near the idol, but other one is mentally you are close to Bhagwan. So develop a relationship of closeness with God. God is not somebody sitting far away in Kailash or Vaikunth or in, you know, in Mecca or Medina, God or in, but God is with me as my friend, as my beloved, as my child, you know, as my so father, mother, like that. So why do we need to do that? And we need to remember leelas of Bhagwan. You know, what, how Shri Krishna performed leelas, what Lord Rama did, how he was perfect, or the qualities of Lord Shiva, he's kind, compassionate, qualities of Mother Saraswati, you know, with knowledge and playing the veena and all that. So as you think, so you become. So the more and more you get these ideas of who Bhagwan is and what Bhagwan does, slowly one develops the quality. So if you're meditating on Lord Shiva, you'll become very shant, very peaceful. When you think of Sri Rama, how he was lived a perfect life as a, you know, human being, you develop those qualities, love for parents and, you know, keeping his word, and you know, and how he was forgiving even to his enemies. And same way Bhagwan Shri Krishna, how throughout his life he helped people and remained cheerful despite all problems, and how he gave the highest knowledge to Arjuna in the battlefield. So when you develop these qualities, you become closer to Bhagwan. And then you can do things, you know, like, okay, I have people say, what is this? You know, you are giving food to this stone statue. What is the purpose of offering food or offering that, you know, Charnamrit, the water in Achamaniyam? And, you know, that is, the idea is that I see God in that. And it is said that when you offer food or water, the subtle part of the food is taken, it goes to the higher devas, to the higher gods. And then what is left, that's why we say what is left is prasad, because Bhagwan has already taken the subtle aspects of it. And so what is left is the prasad, that is the offering which Bhagwan has touched. So that's why ordinary food becomes prasad. When it is offered to God, then you eat it with reverence. You know, oh, this is prasad from the temple. And then you don't say, I don't like prasad, I don't like prasad, I don't like this food, or I want little, I want less. How come I got less and my neighbor got more? Whatever comes, you take it as prasad, as God's prasad. And the shraddha and the thinking of God should be, as Raman Maharishi says, ajyadharaya srotasa samam sarala chintanam virala tatparam. So just as there is a stream of ghee, you know, when you're pouring ghee or oil, you know, or something like that from one vessel to another, how the oil flows continuously without a break, it looks like a continuous stream. So my contemplation, my thought stream should be continuous. Sarala chintanam virala tat param. So when I sit for doing, say, I'm doing a, you know, mala, chanting the name of the Lord, Om Shri, you know, Jai Shri Krishna, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Nam. And then suddenly from that, your mind goes to, oh, you know, what is on the stove? You know, is, I hope it's not burning. So then that means, again, your mind is, or your mind goes to the child or what I'm going to do. So they're saying when you are contemplating upon the Lord or repeating the names of the Lord, your mind should be continuous and not broken. Sajatiya. Sajatiya, Vijatiya, you know, Swagata Veda. So continuous abidance in that thought, it should not be broken. But a wise person, does he need upasana? So there was this wise person who was sleeping, you know, comfortably. And then the person woke him up. He says, you know, there is a lecture. Let's go and do some shravana. He says, why should I do Shravana? He says, it will remove your ignorance. He says, what ignorance? I know I am Brahman. He said, no, but maybe you have any doubts. So do mananam. He says, I have no doubts. I am Brahman. He says, okay, do nididhyasanam, abide in that. He says, I always abide in that. So until you reach that state, this upasana is necessary. And the last line is tadvanam, one who chants and remembers this, he becomes loved by all. He becomes loved. He is worshipped by all. So one who is able to constantly chant and remember God, because they say, what you think you become. So that's why we say Bhagwan Raman Maharishi or Bhagwan Shankaracharya Ji. Why? Because we see God in them. And that is why. So a person who constantly becomes Samvan Chanti, all beings love him. All beings worship that person and remember that person. So they say, oh, so if I remember God, then will people come and put coconuts on me, put mala, har around me? And no, that is called Sakama Bhakti. You are doing bhakti so that people may come and worship me. No, you do bhakti because for the sake of bhakti, not what am I going to get out of it. So when you do nishkama bhakti, the same chanting of the Lord's name, do it without any desire, not even the desire to know or reach anywhere, just to remember God, then you love everybody else. If you do sakama, then you want people to come and love me. But when I do this kind of chanting and remembering God, then such a person goes beyond raga dvesha. He has no anger, no likes, no dislikes. He sees everybody as a manifestation of that. So that's why he says, enam sarvani bhutani samvanchanti. All beings love him and he loves all beings. So one who can constantly again and again remember God as tadvanam. And for us, of course, whichever our favorite form of the Lord is, and that could depend on which part of the India I come from. Like people from Kerala will remember as Ayyappa, or people from Maharashtra will remember as, you know, Pandarinatha, or, you know, like that. And people from Gujarat will remember as Sri Krishna, as, you know, for Ras. So different parts of India, like in Ayodhya, people will remember as Ram, in Bengal as Mother Durga. So the form you can pick, and it may depend on what was your Ishta Devta growing up, or at your home, at your family. So here these three mantras tell about the importance of upasana, remembering God, and how that can take you to the higher. So for the beginning stages, this is very helpful. And you can use anything, as we said, lightning, the mind, the blinking of the eye, the thoughts, and so on. Or you can pick a name and form of God and his qualities. So we'll end here. We are done with upasana.
We have only three shlokas left.
We have only three shlokas left, so we'll do them next week. And next week, the first mantra, the student asks, tell me Upanishad, Upanishad Bruhi. So they say, why does he ask, after hearing whole Upanishad, he's asking Upanishad Bruhi. So why he's asking, we'll discuss that next time. It is the student who has still not got it. After all this, he still needs some help. So in the seventh mantra, he asks the question, and eighth and ninth, the teacher answers and gives him and us also, for us also, additional means to remember God and reach God. So the final, we'll do that, and then
we'll start Katho.
We'll start Katho Upanishad.
How many people have it?
How many people have Katho Upanishad, or should we need to order? How many have it? How many don't have it? Or need Niru to order? Everybody has?
Yeah.
And also Drig Drishya Vivek we'll be doing on Wednesday. So
study.
In the Wednesday study group. So if you want to join the Wednesday study group, we'll in 8 to 9 p.m. we'll be starting in about a month or so. So we'll ask in the Wednesday how many people need Drig Drishya Vivek, but if anybody needs and doesn't have, so let us know. So we have time here. Any questions, comments? We have about 8 minutes. Yeah, Kerry.
This is a little bit off the topic, if that's okay. I was wondering, what is the difference between vasanas and samskaras?
Samskaras are what you go through from childhood onward in your family. Vasanas you are born with from previous birth. Samskaras are what you get throughout your lifetime from your family, from your childhood. You know, the traditions and that is samskaras. That how to worship God and how to know God and what you have learned from your family through your childhood and all, that is samskaras.
And there are also samskaras, 16 samskaras in your life. When you're born, your name is given. Those are also samskaras.
16 samskaras, 16 steps. Right from the time you are conceived, that is the first samskara. Then when the child is born, growing in the womb, then they have another samskara, then at birth, then at naming, then, you know, when the child eats the first meal, when the child goes to school, learns the first letter, and then gets married, you know, I mean, the 16th, when it gets janeyu, upnayanam, then marriage, then, you know, the child, and then death. Death is the final samskara. So, yeah.
Kind of the steps through life.
Steps through life. That is also called samskara. Samskaras also mean samskara. What is your family traditions, you know.
So they have samskara. Could you kind of say it's like nature versus nurture?
Not really. Again, samskaras are what you have built. But in previous lifetime. Huh?
Jayashree teaches that in her class. Ask her if she wants
Jayashree, to. Jayashree, you want to add to this?
She teaches in her class to the student.
No, you whatever you said it, you know, I do teach the 16 samskaras from birth to the, you know, all the samskaras that one go through, that's important, you know, for example, the wedding, all the steps they do, why they do it. I mean, you know, it all has a meaning. It's not just, you know, made up and you do things. I mean, you know, these are samskaras. So that basically these samskaras will give you like a president is kind of, you know, he will take the oath, like, you know, so that you are like, you know, making a promise to take the responsibilities and things like that, as you know. So that's why these samskaras are important, as these 16 samskaras go, And then, like Anil said, the samskaras as well is like what you, you know, get it from your family and, you know, that's why, you know, like for parents, you says, you know, you have to give all the good samskaras to the children so that they will, you know, grow up, you know, as a good human being, you know. So those, that is also called samskara. But vasanas are totally different. You're born with it. I mean, you know.
Vasanas are different.
You're born with it. Depending on what you have done.
And you also create.
And then you can create new vasanas in this life.
Also, if you read, if you see the Upanishad Ganga episode 19, 20, and 21, gives you all the 16 samskaras beautifully done.
19, 20, 21.
19, 20, and 21. All 16 samskaras very beautifully done. Yeah.
It's on YouTube.
Start from episode 1. Watch all of them. Every day you can watch one. It's only half an hour.
20 minutes.
And beautifully covered. Every Upanishad is a master. That Upanishad episode, Ganga, is a masterpiece. And teaches a lesson, everyone. And all related from the Upanishads. So it's not. And it's Swami Tejomayanandaji's vision. It was his idea. And he gave it to them. And then people carried it out and then they produced that. It cost a lot of money, but it is very beautifully done.
A masterpiece for Chinmaya, I think.
Yes. Any other questions or comments about this particular topic, what we covered today?
Upasana.
Upasana, anything?
Well, if no one else has a question, I had one other. Just, you know, on the first one that we did, number four, I didn't quite understand why the vowel was held three times. Was there a reason? I didn't.
No, length. When you lengthen, that is called pluta. Pluta means simile. It is lengthened. Yeah.
So was it saying like that was an important? Does that mean that that's no. like an important term?
Pluta means it is a comparison. It is reminding you of God.
Oh, I see. Okay. So that's lightning it. And blinking. Okay.
Yeah, in this one, and then the next one, the mind. Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
But in Taittiriya Upanishad, they have at the end,
Au is different. That is when the student gets enlightened. When he gets enlightened, he sings that song.
But Usmavi, they have three times.
And Guruji jokes. He says, I have memorized the song so that when I get enlightened, I'll know what to sing. He says, you better memorize that song. So when you actually now get enlightened, then you'll be ready. Okay, now I have the song ready. So.
I'll keep working on it.
Yeah, organized and practiced, you know.
Practice the song.
Right. Any other questions, comments? Okay, we'll end. We'll do the closing. And then next week, we'll end with these Kena Upanishad, three more mantras. And they're telling some more techniques, how to reach that truth. And then after that, we'll start Kathopanishad. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you.